Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have a special guest today. His name is George Martorano. He spent 32 years in prison as a nonviolent first offender, the longest time in prison compared to any other nonviolent criminal. And we're doing this podcast at Martorano's in North Philadelphia off of Columbus Boulevard. So welcome to the show, George.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to doing your show. I love the title, Live Without a Net. I mean, it's just a great title. And I'd like to talk about my demise. I was a gangster, okay, but nonviolent. And I went to jail a very, very, very long time. I usually always say three verys, because each very is a decade. Each very, I did over 32 plus years in prison, and I got caught up in a lot of stuff on the street. I was a big marijuana smuggler. The gentleman, handsome gentleman behind us, my father, he was a gangster. In courtroom, they called him a gangster's gangster. And, we had a lot of mob wars in Philly, and I lost my dad to the mob war. And, I went away a very long time, 5 years in solitary, and I turned my life around from the worst aspect of living. I became a prolific writer. I became a mentor educator. I graduated over 8,000 inmate students in the worst prisons in America. Never been done before then.
I know. I mean, and that's kind of what helped you get by, your passion, kind of empowering others and teaching them how to be leaders.
Well, they almost sent me crazy. I did, like I said, 5 years in solitary. I was treated very, very inhumane, extremely inhumane, because I wind up going to the worst prison. My first prison was called Marion, Illinois. And I get there 2 months after they killed two guards. I mean, brutally killed these guards. So everywhere I went, you get pulled out on writ and stuff like that, and you're thrown in the hole. And every state facility, county facility, federal, they hated Marion prisoners. They thought we were devils. And I almost was killed several times. One time in the, they're called boxcar cells, and they're the worst kind of cell. You've been in, actually illegal. They have a hole in the floor where you relieve yourself, and there's like a clutch where the water comes in. And I was thrown in there, and there was only one light bulb with string, and the light bulb went out, so it was dark. And nobody was in that cell for years. So what happened is, they served you the food. They fed me like an animal. I actually slid the food under the door. And in the dark, rats start coming up out of the hole. So thank God I had bus shoes, and that's what I put on my hands to fight these rats off. But it was so dark, I didn't see them until they were right on me.
I can't imagine.
And I lived like that until finally one guard had compassion. Wouldn't give me a light bulb, but he gave me a bucket. And I put the bucket over the hole on the floor. And at night, I used to hear they were trying to, get through the bucket. So I use a lot of these stories, especially on an outlet. Jen has a great outlet with Live Without a Net. And I try to defer young people from throwing their lives away. Because in America, sad to say, our justice system is rough. And if you want to throw your life away, the state or feds will take it. Yeah.
And I know just from being with you for so long in solitary confinement, were you next to serial killers, or was that in regular prison? Like, you've had experiences with some of the
Marion roughest... Marion had 370 worst prisons in America. They're all killers. Bodies. I was a nonviolent first offender, and the cruel sentence they gave me, I had life, no parole. These other prisoners had life. They were allowed to go to the parole board, but they didn't get anything. But they were allowed to go in 10 years. I wasn't even allowed to go into the room.
Like, that just doesn't make any sense. So did they treat you poorly because they were trying to get something out of you, or?
Oh, sure. They wanted me to be a rat. You know, my father was a big gangster. You know, Philadelphia had 3 mob wars, you know, back-to-back mob wars. Over 80 guys were killed. No arrest. So I'm a young knucklehead. I fall on a marijuana case. For some reason, the powers from Washington down into Philly, they said, squeeze him. Squeeze him. And like I said, this sentence is very prevalent, ladies and gentlemen. This sentence is very prevalent. It's been around for a long, long time. The hardest case to beat is a frame. Once you're framed, they're not going to throw anybody under the bus for you. Prosecutors, FBI agents, judges, they all conspired to actually kill me.
I mean, I can't imagine. I always say to George, I would never survive 32 years, let alone a year, especially rats, the people surrounding you, and the crickets. His phone still rings today as crickets.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, my phone, you know, my buzz is crickets. Everybody wants to know why. Everything I do in life is symbolic from my past, even my emails. 32, Handsome Jack. I did 32 years in prison. Handsome Jack, my students involved, they used to call me Professor Handsome Jack. But the cricket story, I was in a jail in Missouri. And the jail was, the cell was in the hole, and the cell was basically 4 or 5 feet in the ground. When you look out the window, the grass was right there. So that means the cell was in the ground. So, and they had the vent was in the floor. So it was summertime, summer in 85, what they did to me, put me in a criminal insane unit. It was rough. And we had storms, heavy rain, and I'm laying on the bunk and I start hearing crickets. Man, did I start hearing crickets. The whole floor was moving. They were coming out by the vent. So I don't know what to do. I was scooping them up best I could and flushing them, right? Yeah. Where they got to the point where I couldn't flush them enough. There was an Indian next door to me, Red Bear, crazy Indian. Killed a lot of reservation police. And he was saying, George, you don't kill the crickets. The crickets mean money.
Oh my gosh, why? Because they would eat them, or what do they do with them?
So, and all of a sudden, hours went by, and then they started going back down into the vent. I figured, oh, thank God. Guess what? The next night, same thing, heavy rain, and here they come up again. You know what I did? It was no sense. I just stuck toilet paper in my ears, and just I said I had to go with it.
How many years did that last?
Well, I was in a criminally insane unit the summer of 1985, and there's nothing nice. Criminally insane unit in Springfield, Illinois, it's got a name. It's called Doghouse.
And you didn't even do anything to get down there. It's because you're not breaking your.
Because
silence.
I was a marrying prisoner. When I hit different jails through those 5 years of solitary, they tried everything to actually kill me, and they put me in a criminal insane unit, and I actually was, they take you in a room, take all your clothes, and they give you paper garments, even your bedding is paper, because in the criminal insane unit, they don't want you hanging yourself, because the paper wouldn't hold. I had paper clothes and paper blankets. You know, you ever, I don't have a bag. You ever crush a bag?
Yeah, the sound, yeah.
The sound it was when I rolled over in bed.
Oh, my gosh.
And I actually was, they had a leg iron. I was leg ironed. My left leg was leg ironed to the bunk. And the only thing I could reach was the food slot and the toilet. And I stood like that for 2 months. They give you a little wreck now and then. They took me outside one day, it was very hot, stuck me in an outside cage, left me there for, geez, I think 6 hours, no water. I wanted mouth.
By a cage? You mean like a
outside cage, yeah. My mouth was so dry, I was chewing grass to get some saliva.
That's awful.
And then they had a, it's called Dr. Stark treatment, S-T-A-R-K. And Fat Tony Salerno was there. He was a friend of mine, big mob guy. from New York. He sent a lieutenant in the middle of the night to warn me. He says, they're going to give you, treat you real bad. The lieutenant says, you will not go off. That's what they want you to do. They want to make you, they're going to log you in as filing. What they didn't do to me with this Stark treatment, they would bring all your three meals in the middle of the night frozen. But by law, they have to feed you. This is called the Geneva Convention Accord, ladies and gentlemen. That was signed after World War II. Every country that signed it had to buy. What the Geneva Convention Accord means, they have to process your mail, okay? They have to feed you, and they have to clothe you. That is it. So by law, they have to give you three meals a day. So they bring the middle of the night frozen, trying to get me to go off. But they didn't do it. Then they take me in a shower, chain me up, leg irons and handcuffs. And try to shower with leg irons and handcuffs. It's little old bars in the shower. And they ran me under cold water for 2.5 hours.
Gosh,
what a,
now that's a cold plunge.
They ran me under cold water. I mean, it's a movie in itself. Those 2 months in the criminal insane unit, then they had rec cages right in the cell block. They had these three rec cages, big as a closet. And they stick me in the middle of the cage, so they take the leg irons and the handcuffs. Well, my, I could work out. I was younger, much better shape, and I'm really working out. Because I couldn't work out much in the cell because I had a leg iron. So right. I'm in the cell, Jen, and I noticed, and then they bring in two other guys. They bring in one at a time. And everything I, this guy's following me, everything I do. When I go down to do a push-up, he went down on the push-up. When I went up and did jack, I say, what's the matter with you? He says, he's trying to kill me. I says, who? The guy on the other side, this is how genius they are. He made a zip gun. He made a zip gun out of an aerial from a radio. We used to have these boom boxes.
Yeah.
He made a zip gun, and they're ingenious. He made a zip gun with rubber bands, and guess how he made gunpowder? With match heads and a coin. It was a nickel. He scraped the, I don't know the right word that makes a nickel.
That makes it, like, ignite,
yeah.
Or?
They mix it.
Okay.
They scrape a nickel, and they get the match heads, and they make the combustion, okay. And they stick a screw. And he's got the rubber bands. And he's trying to shoot this guy, right?
Oh my gosh.
And I said, oh, my God. So all I heard was, duck. The guy with the zip gun. So I jumped on the floor. Guess what? Bow! He shot the guy. The screw went right into his shoulder.
Oh, my gosh, but he was okay.
He was okay, but I'm saying that. So I'm saying, I finally get out of the cell, and I'm dodging a guy with a zip gun. Well, anyway, that was the criminally insane unit, Jen, and, I don't know how I survived. I can tell you stories how they tried to kill me. I can go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but what I'm trying to tell you young people out there, don't throw away your life. I did half of my life, literally half my life in a cage. Half my life in a cage. And now that I'm free, I'm only free a few short years. Jen, all my dreams are about prison.
Really?
I haven't had a dream. Every night it's about prison. It's a lot of violence.
I mean, I you never want to go back there, so it's like ingrained in your subconscious, all of those nights.
All my dreams are about prison, ladies and gentlemen, believe me. So I figure, what the hell, I can't get free of the incarceration. Even when I go to sleep, I go, I wind up. The only thing good about it is different prisons.
Right. Well, you've had a long time to kind of think about your time in prison, but also tell everyone how from like 2000 to 2003, you had three deaths all while you were away, including your father.
Yeah, well, my dad... he's quite famous, Hollywood wants his story and all those things like that. While I was away, I'm a poet. I'm probably the only type of guy from my background in the world that's a prolific poet. But you're never going to write a good poem, ladies and gentlemen, unless your heart's broke. My heart's broke. I lost my wife in 2000. She was ill. And then 2001, I call getting hit with right hands. I lost my wife 2000, bang, that's a right hand. I lost my son in 201, good looking, this kid you ever want to see for a motorcycle accident, bang, another right hand. And then I lose my dad in 202 to violence, another right hand. So, you know, I had a mourn loved ones in a cell, and it's not nice. It's not nice. So I don't know how I'm not nuts. I really don't know how I'm not nuts. I just thank God the Lord made me a very strong person, and that's how I survived.
Yeah, you're definitely a very strong person. You still write poetry every morning.
I love, ladies and gentlemen, I just love, people go to sleep and want to get up to have a nice breakfast or make love or something. Me, I like to get up and in the wee hours of the night and write poetry. I love poetry.
I know you're good at it.
Yeah. But my heart's broke. You'll never be a good poet. My opinion, I was a mentor educator. I graduated, like I said before, I graduated over 8,000 inmate students. Never been done in the history of the world.
Right. So your goal now, before, you know, we get into the second part of this podcast coming up, is your goal now to get your story out or to try to rehabilitate others in prison?
I do it all. I do advocate work, but I don't tell people. I like to go to schools that are trouble schools, with grammar school. I don't want to go to a fancy school in Beverly Hills, something like that. I want to go to rough schools. That's where I do my best work.
Yeah. Do you have any upcoming events that you would like people to know about?
Geez, so many. I got an event in New York on November the 9th on the East Side. Premiere of my movie. I have a movie out there on Prime, ladies and gentlemen. It's called George Martirano, These Ain't No Fairy Tales. Oh, wait a minute. I have a marquee in my pocket. George Martirano, these ain't no fairy tales. It's on Prime. I'm at a nightclub and I'm addressing a nice. As a matter of fact, you were there.
I was there. I was live in the audience maybe a year and a half ago.
Right.
Yes,
right.
In South Philly. So I got to hear it live, and you can now watch it on Amazon.
And it's doing quite well. It's doing quite well. I have another movie coming out in 2025. It's actually done by award-winning production company out of England called Raw. In 2022, they did Fair City in New York, about the New York mob. And then in 2023, they did Get Gotti, which is award-winning. And then they did here in Philly. They never had a real professional documentary made about the Philly mob. And I'm in that. That'll be out in 2025. They don't even have a title yet. They don't have a title yet. So we worked very hard on that. And I didn't just come out of prison, ladies and gentlemen, start filming. I filmed a lot in prison because I was a mentor educator. I don't know if you know the word reentry, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
The word reentry, I created reentry in the federal system. It was adopted by the state. Reentry means when you're close to the door, 3 years, you get these reentry programs to adjust yourself, how to be a good citizen, how to go to work, and this and that. So I created reentry. I'm very proud of that. But it all sounds good, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I never took credit for all the positive stuff I did in prison. Never took credit, because anybody thinks they're going to outshine a warden is but a fool. You're but a fool. You don't take credit. You work hard. And, you know, I never was getting out. That's why my classrooms were very full. I only could teach no more than 25 per class. And I was up to 7 classes upon my release. And they were very full because they realized I'm dying in jail, but he's trying to help us come home more in a positive way. I love the title, Live Without a Net. And I use it around when I travel. I say, are you living without a net? So anyway, first segment, we talked about my downfall. And now we want to talk about my accomplishments, which I'm so proud about in my life, that I'm creating jobs for young people. And I hope in the future, it'll be many, many, many more jobs. So, you know, I got out of prison in 2015. I went away in 1983. Added up. That's basically 32 plus years. Half my life was in a cage. I mean, I woke up half my life looking at four walls. I don't recommend it to anybody. I was at a lot of rough places. That we talked all about that in the first segment, Jen.
Right.
But I want to talk about the positive stuff now.
Exactly. So now, post being in prison, you know, what kind of goals do you have, and what have you done thus far in your journey?
Well, what doing all that time, what was implemented in my character totally was discipline. You know, you have to get up and you have to do the work. So every morning I get up. I came out of prison. I went to prison extremely wealthy, and these stories are told over and over. And I came out without a penny to my name, and now I have several companies, and they're all starting to turn the corner very well. I have the biggest brand in Jersey. You're looking at the Growfather, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Godfather. You're looking at the Growfather. We have the biggest cannabis brand in Jersey, and we're going into several other states. And we even have a beer. I have my beer. We have Growfather beer. We have Growfather cannabis. I'm in medical. I'm in entertainment. I love entertainment. When I first came home, Jen, you know, I was booked pretty much all over the country, just in Seattle alone. The Seattle Hemp Festival, ladies and gentlemen, was the third week of August for over 20 years. And I was booked right away. I spoke on 9 stages in 2 days, plus the VIP party, 9 stages. And they paid for all my, took care of great people. And we clocked every 3 years in a row in the third week of August, we clocked over 200,000. So I used to speak to these great audiences, and I just loved it. I loved it just to be free. But the being free when I first came home was really weird, man, because, you know, you're away for all those years, and all of a sudden you're free. And actually, I slept outside. I slept outside for 3 months. I had a phobia. I couldn't sleep inside. And I slept outside.
Under the stars.
Yeah, I did my acclimation to freedom in St. Pete, Florida, with my older sister. And I slept in a tent, ladies and gentlemen, for 3 months until that storm came.
Wow.
And me and the tent were flipping through the sky. Anyway.
Now he likes the ocean. He goes in the ocean even when it's cold.
I love cold. I'm a cold plunger. It's popular now, but when I was a cold plunger in prison, because I didn't ever went to the showers when there was hot water, because I didn't want to be around anybody. I was a teacher, and I was always had in classes, inmates around me. I always worked out alone, and then when I went to the shower, I went when there was nobody there, because it was cold water, and I got used to cold water for many, many, many years. I don't even use a towel. I haven't used a towel in over 40 years. I air dry. Am I crazy? No, because it's all health benefits. Keeps your body real tight, you know. And but anyway, getting back to today, I'm so happy. We're doing a lot of filming. Me and Jen just signed an agreement with a nightclub where we're doing a play about my life. And I don't know what the title was. I have some titles. You can actually join us in what you think is the best title. Let Jen's show know. We want to. It's going to be the George Martirano, A Night with George Martirano, or A Night with the Growfather, or A Night with Mugshot. I own Mugshot. I took my prison mugshot, ladies and gentlemen, and I utilized it. I said, it's all my beer cans. It's actually my real prison mugshot. And I also wrote a book called Muddy Angel. I was a muddy angel. So I don't know what title to use. So if you can join in and suggest what titles are, I'm sure Jen will relay it to me.
First one I like just with your name, but I don't know what Muddy Angel means. Maybe that's a good one. Is that like dark and light?
Well, I was a muddy angel. I was an angel, but I was muddy. And I wrote this great book about it, and I sold it on the when ebooks came out. That's a great story. Ebooks first came out, what, in the 90s?
Probably.
Mid-90s, early 90s. So I'm in prison, ladies and gentlemen. I wrote a bunch of ebooks, and they were, it's called smashwords.com, and they were doing very, very well. It just so happens that I saved a guy's life in prison. His name was Anthony. He was a swindler, swindler. And I don't know how he found out. He actually lived in a, he was a recluse. He lived in a cabin or a tent in Montana. And he used to go to the local law libraries, and he swindled all my proceeds from Smashwords, a lot of money. And I only contact I had, I used to call the library. In prison, you have to have your phone numbers accepted by the prison, and you had to be accepted who you call. So I got friendly with the library, and I used to check on them. And I says, I know you, the Smashwords company got a hold of me. They sent a letter, we have to talk to you and your attorney, but all your money's being diverted.
Oh my gosh.
So they wanted me to prosecute Anthony. I don't send nobody. I says, listen, he's a swindler. He's burying it probably in cans in the woods. He's not spending it.
Right?
So I says, Anthony, how much you? He says, don't worry, boss. Don't worry. I got the money hid. That's how crazy he was. So come, I call, and I should check on him. And they said, we haven't seen Anthony. I said, what happens? I don't know. We haven't seen him. We usually see him like once a week. He was to trek from the woods to the library. Come to find out, guess what happened to him?
I don't know.
He got eaten by a bear.
What?
He got eaten by a bear. So I got, after the bear ate him, I got probably $300,000-$400,000 buried in the woods in Montana. I don't know where it's at.
Are you serious?
But I wouldn't prosecute him. They wanted me to join it. I said, no, I ain't gonna. I'll get the money when I get out.
Oh my gosh, and it's still out there?
A bear ate him.
But the His money.
Name is Anthony Mark Gibbons or something. I think a bear ate him.
Oh my gosh, you've had the craziest stories. Just like that woman that had all this money in Costa Rica or somewhere. Remember the woman that has a movie on Amazon?
Oh yeah, it's a, she's got
Griselda.
They made two movies with her, Griselda Blanco.
Yeah.
She was a friend of mine. Catherine Zeta-Jones made one. I like that one. Then they made a second that's very popular on Netflix. And she was a friend of mine. And sad life. She did time, and the government screwed her and her sons. She had three sons in prison. They let the sons out one at a time before her, and they all were killed. They were killed when they hit Colombia. One guy was killed. The marshals landed at an airport somewhere in the Medellin or Praia. And the kid got killed within 100 yards.
Yeah.
Gunned down.
I saw the movie. It was awful.
So now she gets out, and she lives on a ranch. I think somebody on the ranch gave her up when she went into town. She had to go into town, and she's the one that invented drive-by shootings on these dirt bikes. They get the guy, the kid driving the dirt bike, and the kid sent behind doing the shootings. I don't know how many she killed, hundreds. And, that's the way she died. But Pablo, who I knew, Pablo Escobar, I'm the one that told him, get out of America. He snuck in one time. He said, I got to come in because when I'm in Miami, all the money comes right away. They hear I'm in town. I says, yeah. And the feds hear you're in town. And what they're going to do, they're going to lock you up. It's called lock you up pending indictment. They're going to lock you up pending indictment. Indictment could come down 2 years later, but you're going to be in jail. He got scared. I says, he used body doubles. He said, what's that, Georgie? I said, you get a guy that looks like you, and you fly him in with your army around him, put him in a restaurant, and he'll think it's you. He said, oh, wow, you're the best. I would never think of that. So he was created a body double. Now, I was out at that time. But every time I used to see the double, he was a different double. I think they were whacking him.
Oh, my gosh.
They killed more people. And they got a movie about it now. It's called the Cocaine Hotel. That
okay.
was the mutiny in Coconut Grove. All these Spanish, big Spanish drug lords used to go hang out. But if you didn't buy from her, she had an army of Marilitos. Cuban, remember the Marilito movement?
Yeah.
The Scarface? She had an army of these Marilitos, and she paid cocaine.
Wow.
They were her killers. And they used to kill you. If you didn't buy for it, they kill you coming out of the The mutiny. Right. Yeah, they killed you coming out of the mutiny. And
your stories are blow my mind. I'm sure they blow a lot of people's minds.
I'm in Miami minding my business. The owners of the hotel, real nice guys, they sent for me. I didn't know them. He says, "Do you know Giselle DeBlanco?" I said, "No, I don't know. Why?" I knew her. She says, "Can you tell her to stop killing people coming out of our hotel, our restaurant?"
I know.
I mean, place made millions. So I finally, I said, "Listen, Giselle, do me a favor. Tell your hitman, don't kill him in the parking lot. Follow him a few blocks."
I know, your stories are just like, they don't exist anymore.
Well, anyway, she gets out.
Yeah.
Pablo left the map. Pablo had swimming pools in the jungle. He had a company out of Venezuela made these swimming pools, ladies and gentlemen. They had millions. Regular 20 by 40 swimming pools. And they made the foliage look like it was in the jungle. You had to have a map. Exact map to know where these money was buried. She had the map. And she got out a year before me, and she told me, "You're the only person I trust. I have to see you." She sent a lawyer to see me. She says, she gave me a note in her handwriting. Mm-hmm. It's in my property. It's in her handwriting.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, she said, I have the map. Pablo's map, the swimming pools. So I said, "All right, let me get out when I get out." So there are billions, ladies and gentlemen, still buried in the jungle.
We gotta find
billions. So I don't know. She has one son left alive. He wants to meet me. His name is, guess what she named him? He was a baby at the time. Michael Corleone Blanco.
Oh, I like it.
And he's got a brand. I'm in the cannabis industry, so he has a brand. And anyway, it's just great stories. Like I said, I'm most proud of them is creating jobs for young people. That's what I'm most proud of. And there's cannabis industry there, right? Across America, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be hundreds of thousands of young people devoting their life to the cannabis industry. So after election, they're going to probably drop cannabis from the Schedule 1 to 3. Title moves to 3. So the industry is really going to boom for the better. And it's going to be jobs for young people.
Okay.
So proud of that.
Is there anything else you'd want people to know about in terms of like what you want to do while you're still on this earth?
Well, I love filming. Jen works with me in entertainment. Hopefully we'll do more movies. I love doing plays. And, if you have, what's the sense of having a good story if you don't expose it?
Right.
You have to get it out. And the greatest, the greatest storybook, ladies and gentlemen, is in the world. The greatest short storybook. And it's printed 100 million copies a year.
No.
The Bible.
The Bible's all
short stories. So how many times Hollywood did these short stories? So that's what it's all about, getting your story out there. And that is the greatest, I think the greatest legacy one can give to oneself is to live to be remembered. Live to be remembered. I was the only person from my type of background. I spoke at the Wharton School of Business when I came home. And I was a criminal. I was asked to come and speak at the graduating class of the Wharton School of Business. And that we filmed it, and you can see it on YouTube. It's called Live to Be Remembered. And what I try to stress to the students was the greatest gift you can give to yourself is live to be remembered.
I love that. And do you think your dad was lived to be remembered?
Oh, my dad, ladies and gentlemen, that's Raymond Long John Martirano. He was a gangster's gangster. We talk about him my first settlement. He's a legend. Have you seen the movie The Craze out of London? With Tom Hardy, the movie The Craze. My father, godfather, were in business with them. They had a beautiful casino boutique hotel in London. My father and mother used to fly there every month to collect the money because he was partners with them, having my godfather, Angelo Bruno, and they designed this elaborate fur coat for my mother. And when she would come back, there'd be a lot of money in that fur coat.
Do you still have it?
My mother's fur coat, they had it designed where they had secret zippers. So she used to come home with this fur coat. She just liked to go to London.
I would
She was a very beautiful woman. There's pictures of that.
Jen, she dressed nice. I'm going to
give Jen some pictures she'll add into these segments. Yeah. But again, it's if you have a story, what's the sense of not getting out? Good stories must be told.
Thank you, George.
My pleasure.
It was fun.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.